show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Wi-Fi.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for January 26, 2011. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm ready to rock. How about you?
Well, me too.
I feel decongested.
Feeling much better than last week. That is a fact, Jack.
Yeah,
we are
right.
Ready to go. You ready to have a good time?
I'm ready to rock, man.
How was your week?
It's been great, man. Had a long weekend with the Pinewood Derby, which I'm going to get to in a little bit. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Didn't we just talk about that, like, last week? Week before?
I got to tell you what happened.
Oh, okay.
Well, good little IT story, believe it or not.
We're going to have to keep it tight. We got a lot of stuff coming up in this week's show.
Yes, we do.
Oh, man. Just like every week. Like last week. It was nuts. It was crazy busy. I thought my head was going to explode.
It's like every week is like that.
Unfortunately, Julie is not with us this week. She is working very hard on getting her schoolwork done. They had exams last week, so.
What kind of kid are you raising?
Kind of going to get better grades than I ever did, that's for sure.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Coming up in this week's show, we've got IBM is getting smarter. We got 3D Blinkies. That ought to be interesting. And Pac-Man in your living room. Can't wait. All that and more coming right up after this.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hey, this is Kate Vernon, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Does it make you want to go back to Dragon Con?
Absolutely. I'm always ready to go.
Me too. Hey, before we get started, I want to give a shout out to the chat room. Looks like this week we have... not necessarily Mexican, just masked wrestlers. Although Mexican masked wrestlers would be twice as much fun and a little more challenging.
That's right.
Chat room. If you're around on Sunday nights, we encourage you to be in the chat room. Just go to chuckchat.com/technorama. We'll have the easy, simple page up for you. If you got your own IRC client, you're welcome to use that as well. But we'll have Craig's cam and my cam, and just type in a chat handle. And if they come up with a crazy theme like tonight, someone will be kind enough to show you how to change it. We have Donkey Kong. That's a masked wrestler. Craig, what kind of name is that?
Well, I just figured, it'd be hard to beat the gorilla.
We have the masked subnet. That's me.
That's a good one.
Ben Vaughn, comedy four count, Deb Drop, Du Ech Machina. I think that's how you say it. I never was too good at Latin. El Cafe Uno.
Machina. That's what it was.
And Calf One is El Cafe Uno.
Gru,
Invisible 2008, Cause 75, Go Pack Go. Apparently we have a Packer fan in the audience, and I know who that is. Las Mascara Claudifico.
That's funny.
The Lone Wrestler and The Marvelous Mad.
The Marvelous Mad. Sweet.
Again, you just got to go to chuckchat.com on Sunday nights. We'll send out a tweet if you're following me or Craig or Technorama as your Twitter feeds, we'll remind you on Sunday nights when that comes around. Looking at the birthday calendar, we have January 26th goes out to Will the Computer Guy. We haven't heard from him in a while. I think he called once a while ago in pistachio season. January 27th is Mark in Memphis. Happy birthday to Mark in Memphis. We hear from him occasionally. And February 1st, Brandon Kirkwald in Minnesota. If it's your birthday and we didn't call your name out, wish you a happy birthday as well. Hope you have a great, great week that might be better than my last week was, or the week before when I was sick.
Yeah, we were real sick. You see the title of the last show?
Yes, we were really sick. Is it sick like one of those three-letter things in the transmission control protocol?
It's sick.
There's ack, knack, and sick.
What is that? That's when they do, you know, whenever you see a quote from somebody and it has sick.
Yeah.
That's
packet corruption. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, just go to chuckchat.com/wiki and add your name, and we will call you out at the appropriate birthday time of year. Speaking of birthdays, on this day in history for January 26, 2011, it was on this day in 1500, nice round number, that Vicente Yáñez Pinzón became the first European to set foot in Brazil.
It's easy for you to say. And the British First Fleet, led by Arthur Phillips, sails into Port Jackson, Sydney Harbor, to establish Sydney, the first permanent European settlement on this continent, on this day in 1788.
Glenn H. Curtis flies the first successful American seaplane today in 1911.
And this is the day in 1920 that remembers former Ford Motor Company executive Henry Leland launching the Lincoln Motor Company, which he later sold to his former employer.
Do you want it or not? And today in 1962, Ranger 3 is launched to study the moon. The space probe later misses the moon by that much. Well, it looked like that much from back here. It was 22,000 miles from where they were.
That's right.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to explorer Pierre Savarignon da Brasa, born this date in 1852.
Also born this day in 1892, American pioneer and aviator Bessie Coleman.
German-born physicist and Nobel Prize laureate Polycarp Kusch was born today in 1911.
And finally, happy birthday to the late American paranormal researcher Hans Holzer. Wasn't he with the Ghostbusters?
Or X-Files. I'm not, what is a paranormal research? How do you get...
He was the smoking man.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 26, 2011.
Top secret news, everyone!
Shh, don't tell anybody.
And first up in the news, we have... Oh, yeah. Technology love.
You know, I'm kind of mixed on this. Because, you know...
Yeah, I am too. Let's
tell everybody about it first,
all right,
and then we'll explain
why
we're mixed.
The story is that IBM's Watson, you know, they built a brand new mainframe. You remember when Deep Blue played chess with Kasparov?
Yes, I do.
Well, now they got Watson playing Jeopardy, and apparently it won. IBM's Watson supercomputer won a practice round against Jeopardy champions Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, and raised a lot of questions about the capabilities of artificial intelligence. Watson, a four-year effort by IBM, was quicker on the draw, didn't fall prey to emotion, and had a voice that could be confused for a wayward wayward computer HAL 9000 from the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey. For IBM, Watson is about tackling verticals and bringing hardware and analytics to the fore.
Yeah. Now, did you watch the video here?
I did, and they showed it answering a lot of questions, and you know, because a lot of Jeopardy questions are kind of tricky.
Yeah, and they explain that in the video. Is, you know, some of them, they have puns and little jokes in them, and it actually did a pretty good job navigating through it. And I like how they, when they're talking about what it can do, and then they cut away and they're talking about, I hope it doesn't crash.
Yeah,
and
he's like, a whole bunch wrong.
Yeah. Is it a so and so?
No.
Is it a so and so?
No.
No.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No. And then at one point he says, "No, come on, Watson." And he goes, "What is a no?"
Yeah. What's a... Yeah. So for Jeopardy, which I think the episode that they're going to air with Watson, I'm sorry, I think they're going to air it on Valentine's Day as the actual competition. This was a test run. And they had to make the robot actually push the plunger. You know, it's not electronic where it can,
right?
You know, it's got to try and beat the humans with a punch.
And you know where they sign their name on the little boards? This is like Aaron and Rob and Gene.
It's all in cursive or whatever. Yeah.
His is in like perfect Helvetica font.
Yeah.
I would have signed in binary.
Oh, he's such a perfectionist. Yeah. Impressive. Oh yeah, but
Skynet's coming. Skynet. Yeah. Skynet.
Maybe I just watch too many movies, but I just can't get past that.
We got another story coming up that reminds me of that too.
Yeah.
But you know, it is impressive because you can't Google the answers that fast, and it's got them right there. I mean, the database has to be huge just to keep that information handy, and then the heuristics to go find it is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, I read. Trying to remember how much it actually, how big of a, how much storage it has, but it's like a lot. And it's got, you know, everything from medical papers to whatever. They've been feeding it, you know, information. And it's just amazing that it can make, judgments based on all that information.
Very cool. Also very cool, we have some space news.
Yeah. Beetlejuice is going to blow up.
Not the guy from,
or maybe
not, Michael Keaton from the movie.
Yeah. Well, he's gained some weight. He's going to blow up.
Yeah, this kind of goes with the other one. What is it? Ada Carina? You listen to Astronomy Cast?
I haven't listened to it in
a
while.
Well, they talk about. We got a promo at the top of the show. How's that?
Yeah, that's the only time I listened.
Basically, Pamela did the audio, and I overlaid the music from. Like an interview we did with her last year. Yeah. So I said, you need a promo so we can stick it in another show. And there, we get a free promo and they get a free promo out of it. Anyway, a wave of 2012 related hoopla has hit the internet about the star that makes the right shoulder of Orion the Hunter, also known as Beetlejuice. I've heard it pronounced other ways, but that's the way I'm going because that's the way dictionary.google.com pronounced it.
And that's the way Michael Keaton pronounced it, too.
Astronomer Phil Plait once again puts his rumor to rest. You might remember Phil Plait. He got that book called Destruction from Space or something like that. I'm trying to remember. But he's well known for how the universe is against us and it's lucky we're alive at all. He says, the star will indeed explode as a Type 2 supernova, and when it does, it will be brighter than Venus when viewed from Earth, though not as bright as the full moon. It will be visible in the night sky for weeks and could even be visible in the day for a short time. But that event could happen today or 100,000 years from now.
Well, that's what got me.
Or as much as a million years from now.
I was like, oh, this is going to be something to look forward to. Wait a minute.
And since Betelgeuse is over 600 light years away, its violent death will not harm Earth in any way. You know, gamma ray burster. That would be bad.
Yeah, and that IBM robot's not going to, you know, become self-aware and start killing humans.
It'll save us.
Yeah, save us.
As geeks, we can only hope that the core of Betelgeuse undergoes a catastrophic failure in our lifetime. Jump! 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 It's on the edge. We're just trying to push it over.
I can hear Watson now, the IBM computer. Come with me if you want to live.
Ha ha. Ha ha. Right. Which moves us on to, of course,
Hacks and Strange Stories.
We have a picture of the world's weirdest plane ever invented. And you know, there have been some weird planes over the years. Stuff, the Germans, the Americans.
The car that has wings.
The plane that has wings. I mean the boat that has wings. There's been some weird stuff. This one's kind of goofy because you've seen swing wing planes. I think it's the F-111 has swing wings.
Lots of fighters. Stealth bomber didn't look like it could fly.
Right. Well, this thing doesn't look like, it looks like it should be flying in circles. Actually, this was developed by NASA, the AD-1 oblique wing aircraft, which, you know, if you took a pair of scissors and sort of half opened them, that's what this looks like, with the body going at not 90 degrees to the wings, but more like 45. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And both wings are not going forward 45 or backward 45. They're still in a straight line to each other. So one's forward 45 and one's back 45.
Actually, no, they're turned 60 degrees across the fuselage.
Thank you. The 81 Oblique Wing Research aircraft was designed and made at NASA's Dryden Flight Research Center located in Edwards, California, in the western Mojave Desert in the mid-1970s. So this was a while ago. Engineers were curious about the aerodynamic characteristics of such a plane, as well as the control laws required to govern it. Their objective? Better fuel economy. Wind tunnels at NASA Ames showed that the oblique wing design will use half the fuel at supersonic speeds thanks to superior aerodynamic qualities. Huh.
You know, from the bottom, it really looks like they took a picture of a helicopter and it kind of froze the blades.
It does kind of look like that, doesn't it?
But it looks like it. And you know what else I thought was interesting was if you look at the flaps on the edge of the wings.
Yeah.
They're not straight with the path of the plane. You know, they're cut straight with the wing.
Right.
You know, just like it would have been a normal wing. I would think that they would have changed it or something, you know, but I guess, you know, apparently it worked.
Well, that's what's kind of weird about it. You know, that I can't imagine there's not some aerodynamic qualities that just make it off-centered somehow, like pulls to the left or or rolls a bit. Or I don't know. It just seems very bizarre that this thing flies at all. But then you look at half the other aircraft out there that...
I would have loved to have been the one that come up to the pilot once he landed and said, "You came in that thing? You're braver than I thought." But
Where is it? There, freebie for you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Try the veal. I'm here till Thursday.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we were walking around the mall Saturday with Lisa and her friend, and mm-hmm. I was kind of chaperoning. And we walked into a cooking store, and this lady said, "Oh, we have a wok over here on this board." And I went, "Board, wok." Boardwalk, I'm too quick for you.
Oh my God, Dad! Can you hear me? Boardwalk, walkboard.
The poor sales lady. She's like, the sooner they leave, the better.
That's funny.
All right, we have another article here from Business Week. Wow, we don't get many of those. That's too legitimate for Technorama.
Yeah, how'd this get in here?
The Robot in the Next Cubicle. This is titled, "Between the Global Economic Downturn and Stubborn Unemployment, the last few years have not been kind to the workforce." Let me get the picture of the plane off the screen. Put my ugly mug back up there. At just five... Oh, wait. Now... A new menace looms. At just 5 feet tall and 86 pounds, the HRP-4 may be the office grunt of tomorrow. The humanoid robot developed by the Tokyo-based Kawada Industries and Japan's National Institute...
Hey, and paired with the Watson AI. Okay.
Great. Now it's smarter than half my employees. Of advanced industrial sciences and technologies, is programmed to deliver mail, pour coffee, and recognize its coworkers' faces. That's more than the other half of the employees do.
Hey, for $350,000, it better do that.
It's $350,000, which, you know, would be an admin assistant, probably about a 10-year return on investment. But while that price may seem steep, consider that the HRP-4 doesn't goof around on Facebook, spend hours tweaking its fantasy football roster, or require a lunch break.
Hey, no, but... Under the mobility part, it can stand on one foot, twist its waist, and strike a pose.
Now, this does, there are other ones mentioned in this article for significantly cheaper and some significantly more expensive. But
yeah, one's more expensive.
For around the same price, Smart Robots, based in Dalton, Massachusetts, offers a more ambitious office robot called the SR4. Models range from $74.95 SR4 professionals to the $18.95 SR4 office, which resembles R2-D2 with a clear glass top. Joe Bosworth, Smart Robots CEO, says the SR4 is just as smart as C-3PO's little buddy. I would describe it as a gopher, he says. A point-to-point robot. Now, there's one in here that's also mentioned as a glorified kind of remote presence video conferencing with wheels.
It looks like a Segway with...
Yeah,
it looks like the head off that little... what was the name of that robot off the black hole? The one that was floating around?
Oh, yeah. actually, I was kind of thinking more like Uniblab on anorexia.
Hey, but here you go. I got to throw this out here. Okay, on the diagram, the middle one there, the PR2.
Mm-hmm.
It's cost $400,000. Now, I hope this stuff doesn't make it into its, marketing, stuff. Because it says, during its graduation party last May, the PR2 demonstrated a talent for dancing with humans. And then it goes on and says, cognitive ability. smart enough to fetch a beer from the fridge with the use of the Beer Me app.
He only knows one dance, and it's the robot.
Yeah, and he fetches beer. Okay, I'm with that. I'm down with that.
I was watching the news this last weekend, and I did see a story about a student, must have been like 12 years old, had a kidney disease and had to stay home, but was still able to do remote presence with something very similar to this. It was like a video conference with wheels. And the bell would ring, the robot would wheel in, he'd say hi to his friends in the hallway, and he's just sitting at home. It was really cool. So, and that one they said was around $5,000. So these things do come cheaper. And, you know, think about it. If you've got that kind of remote presence, your video conferencing no longer needs to be confined to one room. You could roam around the office.
You walk around, spy on people.
Until you hit the stairs. There's always some fatal flaw with these bots.
I will say this, though. If I need something to get me a beer, I'm not going to spend $40,000. I'm just going to get Alex the dog from that commercial. Remember that? It's like the cousin of Spuds McKenzie or something, wasn't he?
Right.
What beer was it? Oh, Stroh's. Was it Stroh's?
One of those. I don't think Stroh's has had a commercial in a long, long time.
Fetch me a beer.
Yeah. It was like Bud Light or something.
Good dog.
All right. Next up, we have a man who's discovered a way to do 3D without glasses. Who's got two thumbs?
I'm laughing because I've already seen this video.
Yeah, I saw the video too. And wait for it. Okay, who's got two thumbs and needs glasses to see 3D? Not this guy. Francois Vogel figured out a way to remove those pesky spectacles. There's a tongue twister from the equation, and he's ready to revolutionize the stereoscopic industry forever. Sure, you'll need a monitor with 120 hertz refresh rate, but that's pretty much standard these days anyhow, and the rest is sweet. Sticky gravy dish directly to your eyeballs. Get a sneak peek at the game-changing tech in the video that we'll show you on the show link, web link in the show notes, and keep an eye out for unicorns. Now, if you watch this video, I don't know what he puts on the side of his head, but I don't want him. Okay, he's not wearing glasses. All of a sudden, it looks like he's going into this eye-twitching thing because his left eye blinks, and his right eye blinks, and his right, and then left, then left.
Well, you got to sync it, too, by the way.
Yeah, and it's going... Yeah, he's got like two Wiimotes or something that he uses to sync the things. He puts these two little stickies on the side of his head, kind of like what Geordi LaForge looks like when he takes his visor off. And then his eyes start flittering.
I like to think this is what Geordi LaForge looks like under the visor.
You can see on the still cam that he's got one eye open and one eye half shut because they are flittering at 60 hertz. And he's like, this is really quite realistic. I could just reach out and touch it. Like, I think I don't know. My brain might go into shock, but if my muscles were twitching that fast.
You know, you ever get your eye twitching? That just bugs me. It bugs me watching it.
All you want to do is rub it. And I'm like, I can't imagine doing this fast.
Comedy Forecast, he says, it explains why Geordi's blind.
No, that was the other reason why Geordi's blind. Found his dad's porn stash.
I'm sorry, this was just hilarious. Yeah, At first, before I read anything, I'm watching, I'm like, wow, what?
That's crazy.
That's kind of funny.
All right, last one up in the Hacks and Strange Stories, we have a story about Roombas that were hacked to play Pac-Man. Oh, yeah, you gotta love it. These were... programmed to be autonomous. They show them running around the game board, which is actually, they don't taped. Use... Yeah, but they put the tape on there just to show the humans where the lines were, but the robots don't actually use the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the ghosts know which mode they're in because there are power pellets, and they can actually see this thing running around on a screen, but you can see them running around on the floor, too. So Pac-Man starts out in his starting position. The ghosts start out in their starting position, and you know they hit it, and he goes... back and forth and up and down and around, and when he hits the power pill, the ghost, they don't physically turn blue, but they turn blue on the screen and they start running away, and they know which way to go and what mode they're in, and they go back to the home base, and it plays like a real Pac-Man. It's really, really kind of cool.
It's 3D.
Yeah.
For real.
I wonder if there are sensors around the room to help it position itself. Because what would happen if you just picked up Pac-Man and moved him like a foot over?
Yeah, he starts running into the wall. Well, you know, they're designed to look for, I guess they reprogrammed it to look for that red tape.
I don't think he said the red tape really is there just for human cosmetic purposes.
Oh, I did not watch the video. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool, though.
That is cool. That would be a fun project. Could you imagine doing that as like a senior project in college?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
That was great.
Yeah. Try to tell your parents, look, I'm really working on school. Do you mind?
Yeah. And you get a free clean floor out of the deal. What more could you want?
Charles, keep playing your video games.
Stop bugging me, Mom.
I'll take the trash out in a minute.
Oops, I just reordered a playlist. Sorry. Hold on. There we go. All right. We are going to be right back with the Media Corner, where we have such wonderful stories waiting for you as A Wrinkle in Time done in 90 seconds. Sounds like a great way to read that book. An X-Men family tree and more.
On Valentine's Day, 2011, take a walk through the bad part of town. Welcome to Brown Sector. Dodgy-looking stem joints, streeters squatting in broken-down old buildings, unemployed folks living four to a quarter in condemned apartment blocks. Outside the influence and interest of the firms, there's no law here, except the vigilante goon squad, but they can't be everywhere. And there's no one to help you when you're the one in the dank little room, furnished with just a chair, some restraints, and a man with an ancient knife. Join Detective Anderson Dexter as he hunts a killer who prowls the mean streets of the future. Act of Will, the disturbing sequel to Self-Made, will be available as a free serial at derusha.ca/actofwill and in audio at patiobooks.com.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Oh, look what I found in the Media Corner.
What did you find in the Media Corner?
A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, yeah. Well, so must have been by my laundry in the basket.
Do you remember this book?
I remember hearing about it. I never had a chance to read Wrinkle in Time. I know
I read it, but, you know, it was like in fourth grade or earlier. Yeah.
Well, what we've got from sfsignal.com is done in 90 seconds. Apparently, there's a website called... Oh, rats. Where is it?
90-Second Newberry.
That's it. 90secondnewberry.com has a collection of these 90-second things. And this group of kids, well, about 13 years old, went out and did their version of the whole thing in 90 seconds. So, kudos to them.
I thought it turned out pretty good.
It was kind of fun. I got the gist of it.
Yeah. There's a time with a wrinkle. Why don't they just iron it out?
Well, because the universe ripped, and then you got to stitch it back together.
Ripped.
How do you use
I'm gonna
this?
Rip this universe a new one.
How would you use the Velcro sound?
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had some good video effects, and you know the acting was pretty good. I give these kids credit. Because this past weekend, I tried doing this something similar with third graders. We did sort of a news interview with...
I'm sorry. Interrupt. El Cava Uno says, a stitch in time saves the universe.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. A rip in time saves no one. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nah, it's all right. We were just doing a video project, and it was like cat herding. So I'll put the video up when it's done. We need to redo one of the scene. Yeah.
Oh, like that Super Bowl commercial a while back?
Remember that? You get 16 kids that are 8 years old? Yeah. And try doing a video project in 45 minutes. It's a good time.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun. We do need to redo one scene. So I'll get that up online as soon as it's done.
Yeah, I want to see it. Throw it up on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I got a copy of the script around here somewhere. Yeah, I will do that. Next on is the X-Men family tree. I think I have a picture here for you.
Now, the X-Men have been around for a while. So you can imagine that their tree's a little wonky.
Yeah, the final X-Men movie was on this past weekend. Julie and I were Mistying it.
Oh, well, I like three. It's not that bad.
You know, when Magneto rips up the bridge and sets it on Alcatraz, and I said, bridge to captain.
No, I mean, the movie's not bad. I think people panned it a little bit because it's not as deep as the other ones, but I enjoyed it.
Well, we have the X-Men family tree. There's no words or anything. It just shows all the different
faces.
Yeah, kind of in icon form.
Actually, yeah, it's more like Avatar-type faces.
Oh, it looks more like one of those mobiles that you hang from the ceiling and things go spinning around.
Yeah. This is what my parents should have hung out over my crib when I was... Magneto.
What do the dotted lines refer to? I can't quite read that. Let me see if I can pull up a bigger image.
I was just looking at the thing. The solid blue line means they're married. The dotted line is they're dating. Red is offspring solid. The orange dotted is clone. Green solid is other relation. I guess that's alternative relation lifestyles.
What? They're friends on Facebook or something?
Friends on Facebook. Yeah, they're social media associated. Now, and the purple dotted line is nemesis.
Wait, there is some writing on here that says alternate reality, and I can't read the dotted blue one on the left.
The dotted blue. Oh, yeah. There was a destined to be together, and there's an alternate reality. So,
alternate reality. She got a star on her eye. Looks like maybe she was in Kiss for a while.
Yes. That's Ace Frehley, man.
That Paul Stanley, man. You are bad. Oh, please.
Yeah. Anyway, it's cool to look at.
It is, if you want to have some fun with that. Another cool thing to look at is, oh, you know what? Before we get there, I want to stop. I have an article over here from the Wall Street Journal a little while back. We got Business Week and Wall Street Journal. Work that into Technorama someday.
Yeah, I know. Business Week. Shit. Now we're upscale now.
It's not the right one. It's a different one. This one. Nope.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were talking about apps on TV. They were the big thing at CES this year, and how many TV makers are making, basically a kind of a big version of an iPod Touch, if you will, and you don't touch a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a remote. And you can put your Twitter app and your Facebook app and your Netflix app all on the TV. Now, it's that, or you're going to be buying devices to do that. Now, my Blu-ray player does the Netflix, does the Pandora and the YouTube and a lot of these other things. Now, granted, it's kind of early for that, so I can't go download more. What are your thoughts on apps on TVs? Do you prefer something more monolithic like that, where, hey, I'm getting a 65-inch plasma TV, and you can download these apps to it, or do you prefer to use something like an Apple TV, Roku, Blu-ray player?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think that the TV should just stick to being a monitor, and I add the devices I want to interact with to it, whether it's Google TV or the Samsung Blu-ray player or my TiVo. I don't need that many layers of crap. You know what I'm saying?
I do too. And my main reason is for the price. Because if you go out and buy an app-enabled TV today, my TVs are generally around for 10 or more years.
Mm-hmm.
My computers are around for maybe, in general purpose day-to-day use, 3.
Here's the other thing. As some of these TV manufacturers, sure, they make a TV. Are they going to keep up with the software for 10 years? No.
Right. No.
Because they want you to buy a new TV.
But see, if I were to buy an Apple TV for, $99, and it has a bunch of apps that I could loan on it, or Roku, or whatever, then my TV, like you said, is a monitor. And that is, not that I'm not opposed to integrated devices. I think they make sense where they make sense. But think about the cost of the TV, man. You're paying like $2,000 for a big old flat screen. And if it's out of date in 3 years because the software hasn't been kept up, or the app store has just not gone on, or they sign a new contract with whatever,
mm-hmm.
I like the modular design where I can swap out littler pieces much easier.
Yeah. So like I got a TiVo right now, we may ditch that and I'll put in, I might throw a Google TV box on there. So
exactly.
Yeah. As far as Twitter and Facebook and crap on my TV, I'm not really into that either. Pandora, I think, kind of makes sense because it's kind of part of the entertainment center. But I don't want a Twitter and Facebook from
I did buy a little HDI dealy bopper for my MacBook Pro, so I can plug in the the mini DVI port to the HDI, and then I use my 65 inch as a secondary monitor during the day, so I can be parked on the couch. And I feel kind of like Star Trek-ish because I'll use my Motorola Rocker headset. So I'm wireless to my phone, and I'll be standing there in front of the big TV telling the customer what to type. And they're, they're moving their GoToMeeting thing around, and I'm saying, no, click on this, and I'll drag that, type in that. And it's kind of fun, actually.
You suck. You're sitting in the easy chair doing work.
No, I actually get up, and I'm standing right in front of the monitor when I do a lot of this stuff, just so I don't
It looks like you're day trading with the stocks.
Exactly.
No, sell.
Right.
But that does sound pretty good, man.
All right, you had a story about the Incredible Hulk?
Well, I to be honest with you, I don't know much other than it started off with I read that NBC was optioning a Wonder Woman TV show. And I was like, okay, I can see that. And then all of a sudden I thought, they said, much like the Incredible Hulk. A what?
Oh.
And I found out that apparently ABC is looking into making an Incredible Hulk show, TV show. I was like, I don't know if I want to go through that again. I enjoyed the old TV show and
the movies and stuff. The movie? Did you enjoy the recent movie?
I did enjoy the most recent one, and I liked the one before that, but not as much as I liked this last one. So I don't know. Just thought it was interesting. I haven't heard anything. Has anybody else heard anything? That's kind of why I put it in there.
Okay, I have not. Let's put a call out to the listeners if you've heard anything about the Incredible Hulk. Now, Wonder Woman is, I heard it's kind of on again, off again.
Which one? The Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman.
Well, Comcast just bought NBC. And apparently there's been some shakeup. And they actually passed on Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And then when Comcast walked in the door, like the next day, they reevaluated and decided to go for it.
Nah.
So we'll see. I don't know. Wonder if Linda Carter will be involved, huh?
Maybe as a cameo or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of like the Hoff and the newer version of the Knight Rider.
I thought you were going to say Baywatch.
Yeah. They're redoing Baywatch, hey.
Hey, baby.
Yeah.
All right, finally we get into the Geek Library. We got a couple things here we're going to get through real quick so Craig can talk about his Pinewood Derby. Robert Scoble was in they've revamped one of the parts of the Computer History Museum. If you remember from 2007, Craig and I went through and brought you audio and a little bit of humorous video. Well, they've redone part of that for the...
Looked like they did most of it. I couldn't tell. Yeah. I guess you don't know without going.
They call it Revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things that have had a major impact in the history of computing and computer science. And they actually had some of the fellows from IBM there talking about the things they worked on. They had this wonderful lady talking about when she was working on a compiler and dealing with the NSA and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great video. It's a bit like walking around with a camcorder, because that's exactly what he does. So don't expect much for the production value. But it is a fascinating thing, and I hope to get out there again sometime soon to see
and
that.
He did have a short interview with the Woz at the end of it.
Okay, I did not see all the way through. I got about two-thirds of the way, so I will have to finish that up. And if you want to see that, it's in the show notes. Or go over to scobalizer.com, and he's got that from the 16th
it's
of
really
January.
Cool. And I wondered if they made some of those changes because they saw my video where I was touching.
Yeah, whoa, a lot of those things are behind glass now because of Craig.
Yeah. Yeah, had an impact on the Computer History Museum.
All right, I saw this picture real quick. I just wanted to run it by. It's a very, very large poster of the evolution of the Batmobile, and I didn't realize just how many there were. In some cases, multiple different Batmobiles in a year. And this goes back to, what was it, the 40s when the thing first started? You pull up this image, and it's like, it's super tiny, but then you click on the zoom is like, holy smokings, Batman. There's a lot of Batmobiles in there. I mean, they've got them from the movies. They've got them from the comic books. They've got them from just about every source you can find. And many of them are very you know, artistically rendered in terms of industrial design.
And some of them you go, what was Bruce Wayne thinking?
I like the one from the 40s that looks like, you know, I think it's the Chrysler 300 or something. It's just the big old, you know, tank of a car that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the one from 1958, it's got that big Batman mask on the front, like a scoop.
A lot
like
of them had
like a cow
that.
Catcher
yeah.
on the front.
A lot of them had the cow catcher on the front. It's kind of fun.
In case I run down a villain, I can just, maybe there's a villain catcher.
Right, right. We do have one more thing. If you want to see a cool poster, if you're a Batman fan, Dark Knight was on again this last weekend. That was still a good movie. Oh, I love that.
I think it's, I mean, by the way, I think it's funny. Batman is not above putting his face on something. A little vain, isn't he?
Last thing up in the Geek Library, sent to us by George Starcher. Thank you very much. From Macworld.com, there's a history of the 6502, and you can actually run kind of like 6502 assembler. This is the MOS chip that ran not only the famous Apple I and Apple II, but Commodore PET, actually some of the Atari 2600, the Nintendo Entertainment System, a lot of places. I didn't realize where this thing was. That neat little microcontroller, kind of weird in the way that it did its machine manipulations, but you can run this JavaScript HTML5 simulation and watch it actually boot up in really slow mode. I mean, the thing only ran at 1 megahertz. This is at about four instructions, four CPU cycles a second or something. It's kind of cool. I'm not really sure what you're looking at. I saw one when I was in college that was more of it wasn't the actual chip and seeing what circuits turn on and off, but they had the A register, the X register, the Y, and you could see like the value being passed from one to another and stuck in memory and what memory it was addressing and things. So it was a little more easy to understand in terms of what exactly is happening when you run assembly language. But yeah. This one would be great if you're true hardcore hardware geek.
And you know what's funny is interesting is that, you know, the 6502, a slightly modified version is a 6510, you know.
That's
which,
right,
which went on to do the Commodore 64 and other and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I mean, the legacy of these chips is amazing.
Now, one more quick story before you go. We have the Pinewood Derby and you found an IT problem.
Yeah. So get this, you know, Friday night, I talked about this on my blog, by the way. But Friday night we impound our cars and they take everybody's names, they weigh them and make sure everything looks good. And then they put all the names in the computer, right?
Right.
You know, so the software is ready to go. The software talks to the track, the track's got timers and everything. So what happened is, over time, you know, kids get older and the parents that were there kind of graduate out because they, you know, the kids go on to Boy Scouts and they don't have the same kind of, the parents don't have to come with them all the time, you know, so they get out of the Pinewood Derby. Well, some people had changed hands, laptops got checked back in, you know, over time. And now, it was like about 7 o'clock on Friday, 7, 8. I was like, you know, there's not a machine here that has the software installed. Shouldn't we be checking this out? You know, so it got a little later, about 9 o'clock, and somebody brought their laptop in and started trying to configure it. Well, the software apparently was not working. It's like, you know, this is a perfect storm, you know, for the IT kind of thing. You don't install the software beforehand, and when you need it, it's not going to work.
That's right.
You know, so they messed around with that, had to change to another app altogether to get the thing working. And once they did, everybody was on pins and needles because 9 o'clock on Saturday, we're supposed to start the race. And is it going to work? And sure enough, it did. So, yeah, so that it was a little hair raising there, but everything worked in the end. And I do have to say, and I'm bragging just a little bit, not much, but I enjoy just making the Pinewood Derby cars. But I won first place in the parents' race.
Cool.
Yeah, I did the Mach 5, and old Speed Razor, he pulled it out.
Did you have a little chimp in your pit crew?
Well, somebody said, I think there was extra weight in the trunk.
That was the trunk monkey.
Spritel and Chim Chim were in the trunk. No. But it was fun. You know, my car did okay. I have a good time just making them. It's so low tech. You're just using wooden tools. You know, it's fun to do something like that.
Absolutely.
You know, away from the norm. Yeah.
Absolutely. So. Good. Hey, we look forward to seeing pictures of that. You got those on Flickr or something?
I got a picture up without the wheels.
Okay.
But I'll take pictures of mine and Harrison's. Actually, Harrison's came in third in his heat. So he didn't progress to the finals, but he did pretty good.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How many more years has he got to do that?
Oh, what? Three, four.
Okay.
Something like good. That. So we'll be talking about the Pinewood Derby for a while.
Hey, that takes us to the end of the show. Thank you for sharing your story. And we do have a few other things that didn't make it to the show that were shared to us by Brian Letecki. Visit for yourself what the Soviet space shuttle program looks like today. The all-seeing blimp could be Afghanistan's biggest brain. 12 robotic garages worthy of a Bond villain. A video for glow-in-the-dark surfer riding 40-foot nightmare wave.
Yeah, that was scary. I saw that. Go watch it.
Inception explained, the moon spacesuit under X-rays, and unseen photos of Niagara Falls without water. This was actually on the news a few weeks ago. I think it was right before Christmas. Yeah, that was real interesting stuff if you didn't catch it there.
And I do want to, excuse me, I just want to say that go look at that Soviet space program pictures. They're really cool. It's like almost like looking at an abandoned facility somewhere. It looks so surreal. Go check that out.
Kind of like Chernobyl.
Yeah.
The town around
pictures of Chernobyl where
the town 20-25 years later. Yeah.
Fascinating. But it's kind of like that, but I think it's a little more kept up.
That takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line. We haven't heard from you in a while. 206-222-CHAT.
I mean, I'm throwing out the caller challenge. If you haven't called in a while, do so now.
Well, we also want to find out things like, what were the questions we were asking? Apple TV, integrated TVs, apps on TVs. Yeah. You know, tell us what you think about that. Would you buy an app-enabled TV? Or would you stick with more modular design?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I've said this before, the show is only half a show if you're not involved, so call in.
That's right. Or email technorama@chuckchat.com if you just want to record a short little MP3, stick it on there as well. You can also send us links to cool stuff like the Soviet Space Shuttle Program on Twitter. You can find all that information and more at chuckchat.com/technorama. Just click on the Contact Us tab. You'll find it. It's easy. It's right next to the tip jar.
That's right. Yeah, hint. Hey, I should edit our website where every time you move your mouse, the tip jar follows it.
Special thanks to the following people for keeping Technorama going. They donate their time and talent. Mad Mar for providing the great blog content. Ustream, who keeps our modest live stream up and running on Sunday nights. Live and archives the show. If you didn't watch it, you can always go to the website, our website later, and click on that. Chat room provided by thinstack.net. Special thanks to Steve Rickenberg and all the crew over at thinstack.net for all your IRC needs, or all of ours anyway. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com, also affiliated with a boatload of podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. If you can't find something there that you like, you're not trying hard enough. Hey, did we remind you to subscribe to the RSS feed or visit the website? Do it. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101, everybody.
Thank you and good night.